First Peter chapter 1. I've had a very, very busy day, but when I got into the Word, man, I was happy. I was glad I spent a little time kind of going over some things. And it was a blessing for me, and I hope it's a blessing for you tonight. I tweeted earlier this afternoon, how does God preserve His saints? There are two aspects, and I wrestled with this for a long time in the Bible, because I'd heard some say that God is a God of preservation, that He preserves saints. But then I heard that God also is a God that calls upon us to persevere. So there's two ideas in the Bible, one of preservation, one of perseverance. And some would say, no, God preserves saints, and there's nothing about us that has anything to do with that. Then there's the other side that says, no, really, it's us persevering, and we have to persevere for God. And I just, you know, I'd heard both sides, and I thought, man, there's got to be a way to reconcile this. And there is. It's God preserves those who persevere. They're not in opposition. Those ideas are not in opposition to one another. And I'm going to show you that. There is verses that say it almost identical to what I just said. Okay, and I'll show you that in the Bible. I'll shut up and I'll let God talk. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you there? Say amen. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. How much mercy does God have? He's rich in mercy. Amen. My Father's rich. I'm glad of that. Amen. To His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. Heaven is not fading away. It's not going to lose that new heaven smell. It's always going to smell great. Amen. It's always going to be brand new and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. Now watch this. Verse 5. You is what he ends up with in verse 4. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through what?
Faith.
You see how it works? Faith is your perseverance. God keeping you with His power is God's preservation. They both work hand, just like my right hand and my left hand work together. When I eat, I've got a fork in this hand and a biscuit in this hand. Think of it that way. Here's perseverance. Here's preservation. And I take the fork and stick it in the meat, swish it over here to the mashed potatoes and the gravy, and I take the biscuit and I scoop that up on there and I order it all at once. Amen? Here's perseverance, and here's preservation. Okay? Fork and a biscuit, all working together. Okay? And it really is that way. Look at that. Look at what he says again. He said, kept by the power of God through faith. Whose faith? The faith is on your part. The power is on God's part. Okay? Now, let me just say that. I do not believe that a person, quote unquote, gets saved, hangs around church for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, goes out and becomes a black magic, pagan, witchcraft, idol-worshipping sodomite, and still goes to heaven. I don't buy that for a second. I don't believe it. Okay? But you've got some people preaching that stuff. That's dangerous. That's telling people, doesn't matter what you do, God's going to take you to heaven no matter what. And I've seen and heard preachers preach lesbians into heaven at their funeral. Okay? Because they got saved when they were 5 years old. Okay? I know a story personal, and I don't want to say it because it's my family and I don't want to say anything. But I've even, out of my own family, heard testimony of, well, I'll just go ahead and say it. I had a nephew, like a great nephew, I don't know who he was, related to me. His third or fourth drug overdose finally killed him. Had women all around the town that he had been with and this and that and the other. And at his funeral, that pastor of the family preached him on into glory. And I was told, well, he got saved when he was 8 at Bible camp, so I know he's in heaven now. That's not what this Bible says. That may be what that church's doctrinal statement says. That is not what this Bible says. Okay? God will keep you through faith. God will keep you through faith. Who in here believes the Bible? Say amen. You keep believing that Bible. And God will help you with it. And by the way, kept by the power of God means there are going to be times when you cannot keep yourself. I've been there. And may end up there again. I may end up leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus to carry me through in areas of life or times of life when I'm not sure that I'm going to make it on my own. That's the power of God working. Amen? Anyway, let's keep reading here. Let's get into the Word of God. So he says, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Skip on down to verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. If the seed is corruptible, so is, quote unquote, the salvation. I asked in fact, a few years ago down at that camp meeting, I was really burdened because I'd sat all day long the day before listening to preachers. Some of them were my friends, one after another, get up all day preaching, get up, let's stand in reverence to God's word and read one verse and everybody sit down. And for 45 minutes, they preached everything in the world except the word of God. And it burdened my heart. And some of these guys were my friends, still are. And I asked them the next day, I said, do we believe that a person can be saved without the Word of God? They said, no, we don't believe that. And I said, is it possible that we can get people to the altar without the Word of God? You could have heard a pin drop. Because I know some of these guys and how they preach. They can preach an emotional storm to people and get them to make an emotional response at the altar. That is not salvation. That is not whatever it was. That is not the work of God. It may be the work of that preacher, but it is not the work of God. And if it's not the work of God, it will fade away. It will pass on. It will become corrupt. But if it's the power of God through the Word of God, which is incorruptible, what God does in you cannot be reversed. Okay? And I learned this. I grew up here believing this Bible was the Word of God. When I left this church to go to Bible college, I made enemies very quickly out there because I said King James. And they didn't like that. And in 3 years' time, they undid that in my mind. And I came back from there different than what I went in. And that went on for a while until finally God took a rod after me. And then God came very quietly to me and convinced me that this Bible was right all along. And I knew it. And I accepted it. And what you have in the Bible, you have the birth, the death, and the rebirth of something. And when it's reborn God's way, it doesn't go back corrupt again. I'm not going to get reborn again, 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 again. I'm not one day going to wake up and say, I don't believe the King James Bible anymore. I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God anymore. I believe it's got mistakes in it. And then by that afternoon say, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to get it back right again. That, the Bible says, is a double-minded man and he's unstable in all his ways. Okay? And I've known people like that. But anyway, once God put that in me the second time, there ain't a team of mules in this world that can pull that back out of me. It is incorruptible as far as I'm concerned. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so now watch this. Say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth. That isn't that something? The Bible describes itself as being alive. And not only being alive, staying alive. And don't tell me you didn't have that disco song. Ha, ha, ha. You had that in your staying alive. I did as soon as I said it. Stupid Bee Gees. But anyway, it's alive and it stays alive. Amen. Okay? That, watch this. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We preach here an incorruptible word to people, so that when it goes forth into people's minds and it changes their life, they're not going to change back. Because that word that has been grafted into them is incorruptible, and it's going to keep them, and it's going to preserve. The power of God is in the word of God. Amen. Amen. So when it goes into you, it stays that way. Let's see here. Turn to Psalm chapter 12. Let's tie it together. Look at, in fact, one of the things God showed me years ago, after I was convinced this Bible was right, God then began to supply the evidence. And what I found out was that God there is a unity all throughout this one language English Bible. Because you got the Old Testament written in Hebrew and Aramaic. You got the New Testament written in Greek. And all the scholars told me, well, you know, Hebrew is a far different language than Greek is. And there's just no way to tie them together. The Holy Spirit tied them together. Because 1 Corinthians 14 Paul said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and then let one interpret. And what you have in your Bible is three unknown tongues to you, and God then, the Holy Spirit, interpreted those three unknown tongues to you by way of this one English Bible. When they tell you, now I'd like to get out 4, 5, 6, 7 different translations and just kind of look at all of them to see kind of what God said, that's a bunch of hooey. God is not the author of confusion. Those Bibles will I'm loading myself for bear for this Bible conference we're having. I'm going to come out shooting hard. And I'm going to show you just how far off all of these other Bibles are compared to the King James. They're way off. Okay? And I'm going to show you that. But God, in my mind, started tying things together by words. Look, compare these two verses. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt do what to them? Keep them. See the word kept up in 1 Peter? Who kept it? Who kept your salvation? God did. Who keeps the word of God? God does. He keeps them both. And here's what I don't understand. How somebody could say, oh, I believe in eternal security. I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. And God just preserves you in salvation. But I believe there's mistakes in the Bible. That never made sense to me. How man could believe that salvation was preserved forever and yet not believe that God preserved every word in the Bible. Does not make sense to me. Does not add up. Why would God give you preservation and then neglect His Word? He didn't. The Bible says God keeps those words. By the way, the NIV in verse 7 says, "You will keep us forever." In the NIV, they changed the wording of that verse. They took it away from God preserving a word to God preserving people. They changed the doctrine. Changed the Bible, changed the doctrine. Now anybody who reads that in an NIV would never come to the conclusion that God preserves all of His word. They took it out. Satan loves to take and steal the word. That's what he loves to do. And all he has to do in some cases is take one word out. We saw that. If you watched PMO yesterday, you got 2 hours full of it. Where God, Brother George, God took, these guys in these other Bibles took the name Jehovah. The name Jehovah in the King James is in there. How many fingers am I holding up? 7 times. The New King James has it in there. The NIV has the name Jehovah in there 0 times. New American Standard, 0. New English Version, 0. Holman Standard, 0 times the name Jehovah is in those Bibles. They took it out. One word. They took it out. They took, God put his name in this book. Satan took it out. Amen. So God keeps people. God keeps his word. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy. Boy, I'm having you turn all these verses. That's going to take a long time. But hey, I notice Sweetie Pie, she's down in the nursery. Sometimes when I preach too long, she gives me a little signal. She's not up here. But I know her. It wouldn't surprise me for her to show up there at the back door giving me the signal. I love you, Sweetie Pie. She probably got her phone out watching. But anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Now what? Look at verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. God preserved Israel alive all the way through the wilderness. He kept them. How many people that went on the ark died? Not a one. 8 people went on, 8 people came back off. How many of the animals that went on died in the inside the ark? Well, maybe a few of them. Somebody, at some point, you could just pretty much imagine they had chicken dinner with eggs. Amen? Okay? I'm just kind of guessing, but the animals that went in came off the ark. God preserved them. God preserved the people that he might preserve us alive. But if you notice in these verses, the Israelites had a responsibility as part of that preservation. What was it? Keep the statutes and to fear the Lord. He said, if you'll do that, I'll preserve you alive. They work hand in hand. Turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24, kind of reiterating what he said there in Deuteronomy. Joshua 24, 17. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. If you remember, Sion, king of the Amorites, came out against them to kill them, and yet Sihon got killed and all his soldiers. Og, the king of Bashan, came out, the giant, came out against them. Moses killed him and all his armies. They died. Moses and all his people just keep on walking. God preserved them as they went through. Joshua then goes and kills 31 of the kings that are in Canaan land, and God preserved Israel through all of those battles. Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews during World War II. And yet, the Jew is still alive on this earth. God preserved them to this day. God preserved them unique to this day. God is a preserving God. 2 Samuel chapter 8. I tell you what, I liked this. I saw this and I was going, look at that! Twice in your Bible. Same chapter. God says the same thing. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Says it again in verse 14. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Jared, you know this. Some of you guys know this. Wyatt Earp. How many times was Wyatt Earp shot? In all his career as a lawman and as whatever else he was, how many times was Wyatt Earp actually shot? 0. No, a bullet never hit him. In all the years he was a gunslinger and a gunfighter, whether he was on the good side or the bad side of the law, he never got shot 1 time. True statement. Okay? Now, who was Wyatt Earp as far as the plan of God was concerned? Nothing. And yet here's David. How many battles did he fight? Hundreds. And David was not just the five-star general who stood at the Pentagon telling all the soldiers where to go. David was always at the front line going, "Come on, boys, let's go get them." And David went out slinging the sword and spear everywhere, killing Philistines, killing whoever it was, everywhere. And how many times did David get stabbed and killed? Saul tried to hit him with a javelin and missed. He was never hit one time. The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David had a sentence upon, he had a, what do they call it, a bounty on his head. Everybody hated David. And no one was able to even hit him. Nobody was. God preserved him. And you say, "Boy, well, that's David." Well, let me ask you a question. Aren't you still here? You're still here. What has God done for you so far? Preserved you. Whithersoever you went, God preserved you. Amen. I heard that up there. God, watch this. God does not need the United Nations to preserve this plan. He does not need Al Gore. Look at this. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6. "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made the heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all the things that there are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all." God's preserved all the oceans. God's preserved all the trees, all the forests. God's preserved all the land. God preserves this entire earth. We do. And look at Psalm 36. "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast." God preserves them all. God does not need man to keep this earth going. Man doesn't do it. God does that. What's good? Amen? Psalm 7, let me read through these very quickly. Psalm 16:1, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Watch this. You see them both now. Here is the saint asking God to preserve him. How many of you have ever done that? I have. And I tell people, at times when you're feeling like you are in revival, get out on your knees before Almighty God and pray, "God, I know it's not going to be like this in about a week. And God, when I'm down in that valley and I'm down in the wallowing in the mire, God, you hold on to my hand and don't let me go. Because I know what can happen. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." There they are right there. You have God's preservation being asked by the saint, and you have man's perseverance because he puts his trust in God. Do not ask this church to keep you. Do not ask me to keep after you so that you can make it, so that you can keep coming to church. Because I'm telling you, for 20 years, I've pastored here, and I'm like the world's worst at going out visiting people that haven't showed up in a while. I'm usually busy just preaching and preaching and preaching. That's my gift. One of my gifts is not going out after people that haven't been here for a month. And sometimes they'll blame me for why they're not here. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. But the truth of it is, if God doesn't keep them, I can't. If God doesn't keep you in the house of God, God doesn't keep you on your knees, if God doesn't keep you in the Word, I can't do it. Okay? Psalm 25:21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." See, there it is right there. Preservation. Perseverance is you waiting on the Lord to do something. Amen? Who in here has ever asked God to do something and he hasn't done it yet? Now, Who in here has ever asked God to do something and he did it, but he did it in his time? Better than what you asked. That's how God works. And if you'll wait on him, because you will hear some people tell you, well, maybe God's waiting for you to take the first step. Really? Show me that in the Bible. Show me in the Bible where when Israel was in the wilderness, God was there in the tabernacle going, I think Israel will take first step this time. I think they need to take the initiative here and get ready to move. No, God specifically told them, when you get up, you look toward the tabernacle. If you see that cloud there, you're staying right there. You're not going anywhere. Go about your business. Go gather the manna. Go feed the goats. Okay? Write some songs. Do whatever it is you do. We're staying right here. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up, look toward the tabernacle, and you see that cloud over in the next valley, I'm going to stand there and wait for you. You pack everything up and get ready because we're moving that day. And it was just that simple. But who always made the first move? God always did. They had no, because they did not know even where they were half the time, I don't think. They wandered in a circle. Where's the promised land? They didn't know how to get there. They had been in slavery in Egypt. They had no idea. They had no choice. And I want to tell you something. God will force you to where you have no choice but to wait on God. He'll force you into it. Don't think that God is waiting for you to take the first step. You should be waiting on God to do that. And He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll make it. He'll make living this life look so easy for you. Because that's what it is. God makes it. The devil makes it hard sometimes. God makes it easy. Let's see here. Psalm 31:23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth who? Who does God preserve in that verse? 31:23. Who does God preserve? The lesbians? The warlocks? ACLU lawyers? Liberals? Abortion clinic workers? Who does God preserve? Faithful. Your part is to keep trusting God. God's part is, I'll preserve you. I'll keep you. Psalm 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Look here. You went and hid in God. You want a picture of that? Noah hid in the ark. Did Noah open or close the door? God did. When God closed the door, where's Noah? In the hiding place. Did God preserve Noah? Sure He did. Sure He did. Okay? When you are in Christ, when you're hiding, read Psalm 91. When you hide in God and make God's wings and His feathers your covering, He's going to keep you. He's not going to let anything come and get you and harm you. Why? Because you made the Lord your dwelling place. You did that. You chose God. God kept you. Psalm 37:28. Look here. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved for how long? But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Seed of the wicked. That is corruptible seed. Okay? Thy word. Oh, I like this part. Turn to Psalms 40, 41, 61. It's going to be just a few pages connected together. Psalm 40, verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Are you catching that? Jesus said in John 17, thy word is truth. So what is it that continually preserves the saint? The truth of the word of God. And if the word of God can be corrupted, then what is there to keep and preserve the saint? Nothing. If the word is corrupted, the saint is going to be corrupted. But if the word is preserved, that's what is preserving the saint. I'm trying to think while I'm talking of an example of that, and if you get one quicker than me, raise your hand. What do you got, Jared?
Salt.
If the salt has lost its savor, what is it good for? And trodden under the foot of men. Okay? What else preserves something? Wow. If you think of something, holler. Because that, I mean, there's something there that's got to be, and I'm not getting it. Turn to Psalm 97. God will not preserve your flesh. Just turn around and look at your neighbor. That's the evidence right there. Take a good look at him. Okay? Yeah. Boy. Time hasn't been kind to you, has it? Okay? Bless her heart. My wife, man, I love her. 53 years old, and I like to watch cops and all that stuff, and they'll arrest some old hag that's been doing dope and meth, and she's 53 years old, and she looks like she's 98, and I'm going, that's what a 53-year-old woman, and I look at my wife going, man, she's been kept good. Amen! Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. He's preserving your soul, not your flesh. Don't forget that. Your flesh is going to continue to just rot until it rots and falls off. And by the way, when they put it in the ground, what has to happen? Except the seed die. Jesus said, cannot be resurrected, cannot come back to life. Psalm 121:7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Your soul is what he keeps with his word, but not your flesh. Okay? Now, here we go. Boy, I like this one. Psalm 25:20. Oh, keep my soul. There it is again. And deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. That is the perseverance. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. See how they're working together? Here is God's power to keep you and to preserve you. And here is your steadfastness in trusting only God. Again, man or a church does not keep you saved. A denomination does not keep you saved. The Roman Catholic Mother Church does not keep you saved. They think they do. In fact, they think that they are the only ones that can commit someone to either heaven or hell. The church does that. This is why they don't want Catholics reading the King James Bible. Did you watch that PMO yesterday? Yeah, watch this. George, Chris Pinto, who's going to come here, sent me. He's got a Catholic New American Bible. And there is a section at the beginning of that Bible called the List of Forbidden Books. King James Bible was at the top of the list. They mentioned it by name. They don't want Catholics reading the King James Bible. What does that tell you? It's the right one, amen. Psalm 145:20. The Lord preserveth all them that hate him. Does it say that? The Lord preserveth all them that despise his law. Does it say that? The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Atheists, lesbian, witches do not love God. What'd you say, Mike? But all the wicked will he destroy. And I'm not kidding you. I sat in the church where the preacher preached the lesbian into heaven because she got saved when she was 8. Said, well, she can't lose her salvation, so she must be in heaven now. But this person had turned their back on God. Period. Okay? 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I believe in preservation. Proverbs chapter 2, turn there and we'll stop. Proverbs chapter 2. The word is what keeps you. And you know that. You know that on days when temptation is... Can Ryan come out and play? The Holy Ghost is saying, I'm sorry, he has Bible verses that he needs to read. Right? Can Jared come out and get in sin with us? No. He's got Bible verses that he's got to read. Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. Okay? Those times when you feel the weakness moving in, and here's the old temptations knocking at the door. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Read it. Read it. Try to think on these things. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Proverbs 2 verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Now all this is the Bible. The Bible is your wisdom. The Bible is your knowledge. By the way, those are spirits. They're part of the seven spirits of God. Therefore they are from the Bible. Discretion shall preserve thee. Being discreet, that means stopping and thinking before you go do it. Amen? Stop and think before you say what you're going to say or do what you're going to do. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Whose ways are crooked. What does that put you in mind of? The serpent, snake. And they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Even the stranger which flattereth with her words. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth into death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. The Bible and the Spirit of God, wisdom and knowledge, those spirits of God working in your life is what is going to... You're not just preserved by way of salvation. In other words, you're not just preserved to go to heaven. God is keeping you from getting into things that you should not get into. Does that sound right to you? Sure he is. God is telling you, I mean, you're kind of thinking about it, and the Holy Ghost got you by the shirt collar right here going, no, you're coming with me. We're not going to follow the ways of the wicked man. We're not going to follow the strange woman wherever she's going. We're not doing that. We're going to let the integrity and the knowledge and the wisdom give you a little bit of discretion, which means you have a little bit of discernment about what you get into nowadays and what you How many of you all know that? Say amen. The older we get, the wiser we get that we just don't just jump into stuff only to find out that that's killing us. We've jumped in our youth too many times, and now as older people, we look at things and we step back and we say, and all these Bible verses running through our mind of why we're not going to get involved in that. Amen? And the Holy Ghost is preserving us because our mind is established on the incorruptible Word of God. Things like prayer and fasting. When the devils are really hitting hard and you're just trying to get them and they won't go away. So you go into prayer and fasting and you do what Jesus said, and this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, and you spend a day or two praying and fasting and all of a sudden they're gone. Well, what if prayer and fasting was not really part of the Bible to begin with? What if those verses were taken out of your Bible? You would have no power against the devils that would come against you. Why did I mention prayer and fasting? Because both of those places in the Gospels where they're mentioned are gone in the NIV, New American Standard, New English Version, Holman Standard Version, the Message Bible, Good News for Modern Man, the Living Bible, the New Living Translation. They're gone out of there. The devil succeeded in taking prayer and fasting. And I had a man down in... Where was we preaching down in Gainesville, Missouri? I had a man who came after me after the service, and I brought it up. I said, "Do you believe in prayer and fasting?" He said, "Absolutely not." He said, "The King James added that to the Bible and it should have never been in there." And I went, "I know who you are now. I know who you are." That man had his heart swept away from the Word of God, and he no longer believed in prayer and fasting because it wasn't in the NIV and the New American Standard. It wasn't in there. And he said the King James translators added that in there and it should have never been in there. And I'm going, okay, I know who you are now. And I quit arguing with him after that because there's no, if God doesn't deal with him, I can't say anything to him. Okay? And I preached all week. He came one more night that week and he never moved from his position that whole week. That told me, Mike, you have no power to change anybody's mind whatsoever. Only God can do that. Can I hear you say amen? There was one verse in here. I guess it's Psalm 31:23. The Lord preserveth the faithful. There it is right there. God will preserve the faithful. What if you're not faithful? Then you're Saul. Next Wednesday, I'm going to teach us again the difference between Saul and Solomon. Very clear in the Bible. Very clear to me now. I get it. I don't want to be Saul. Saul rejected the word of the Lord. He rejected it. Wanted nothing to do with it. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you or y'all. Let's stand to our feet. I'll talk and mumble and go on all night. I get up here preaching good. I forget about how bad my back hurts. And then when I get done praying, I'm going, oh, it's killing me. Oh, I need my heating pad. Sweetie pie. God's good. Amen. God is good. I want you to study that out. I want you to study Psalm 89 and 2 Samuel 7. Okay? Study that out and let God teach you. Let God show you some things. Father in heaven, I love you. I thank you, God, for this word. I thank you, God, for the power, God, that you have of holding on to us. God, at times, Father, when we're not doing so well and we kind of let things slip, God, you're there. And sometimes, Father, you very gently, because you're very loving and you're very kind to your children, sometimes, Father, you gently lead us back to where we need to be. But sometimes, Father, you take a rod and do it. Either way, Lord, you always have brought me back where I needed to be, always. And Father, when I get to glory, I'm not, nobody is going to be praising me. We're all going to be praising you for what you did for us. Because we know we could not have done it for ourselves. So Father, we trust you because we don't trust ourselves. And you're the only thing, Father, that we found that we can trust. And your word we can trust. And nobody's changing it. Nobody has changed it. Nobody will change it. It is the incorruptible, infallible word, God, that we hold on to. And we need, Father, that anchor to hold us fast so that we move not away. Father, bless your word tonight in the hearts and minds of these people, Lord, both here and those that have listened in. We thank you, God. Dismiss us in your care. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.